Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay. Plenty of division out there in the church, as usual, but it seems like there's been a whole lot more. Go back to 2015, 2016 with the Never Trumpers and the church itself and how we voted, and evangelicals who largely came out 80%+ and voted for Donald Trump. Now we're kind of back in the same boat, are we not? With he's Biden's not my president-elect. He's not the president-elect. The election was stolen from Donald Trump. He had a massive, overwhelming victory. But then there's like 52 or 61 cases out there, most of which, by the way, were dismissed not because they looked at the evidence, but were dismissed for technical reasons and procedural reasons. Okay, so you had a lot of that stuff going on. And they were talking about that in the Senate chambers today, not the full Senate, but one of the committees on Homeland Security. And they were talking about the Trump election, the Biden election, whatever you want to call it, the presidential election, on all the reports and the anecdotal evidence and the affidavits and charges across the board from different sources. And there's so much out there. And then I've got people sending me information about military movements and things going on there. For example, I'm just trying to pull one. For example, there was something going on with the 82nd Airborne. Did you see this one? Did you get this one? Did you get this tweet? Did you get this text? Did you get this Facebook note? 82nd Airborne Division tweeted out last week, a storm is coming. Okay, then people are talking about ship placements, Navy ship placements off the West Coast and three aircraft carriers here and what's going on the East Coast. And China's invading, by the way. That's supposed to be happening any day now. And then some other information said that Donald Trump was going to declare martial law on the 14th. And what's today? That's the 16th. That didn't happen. And so when I looked up troop Navy placements for the last several years, they tend to have some of the similar placements at similar times of year. So there was nothing there. And then I did some research and found nothing. And then there's this one, the 82nd Division tweeted out last week, a storm is coming. So, okay, that's interesting. I'll look that up and found that for the last 3 years, this being the third year in a row. And this went back to December 8th and December 9th. The thing that they call, I can't remember what they call it. A storm is coming, hashtag something or other. Devil storm, that's what they call it. Devil storm is something they've done now 3 years in a row where the 82nd Airborne, which are paratroopers and stuff, do a couple of days of massive drills for combat readiness. And so people are like, look what's happening. 82nd Airborne Division, a storm is coming because China's invading. Well, don't forget, we've got about 4,500 nuclear warheads in our American arsenal, and China does not. Okay, they have some, but they don't have what we have. And so if you think the Chinese are going to come flooding across New York Harbor or coming onto the beaches there in San Diego because we're particularly ripe to be taken over right now, that's just crazy talk, okay? And I know I'm offending some of you right now because you're like, no, this is happening. And we are just, you thought COVID was a state of confusion. Now we're in a bigger one. And we're just tossing this on top of COVID. And so a lot of Christians are reacting strongly, bigly, as our president likes to say. And so we've got this whole question. I said this yesterday. How now shall we live? What's going on here? And then this, over the last 4, 5, 6 days, David French came out with this article, The Dangerous Idolatry of Christian Trumpism, right on his heels. Beth Moore sounded, quote unquote, an alarm on Twitter, which kind of blew up. The Cult of Christian Trumpism. Then from the Religious News Service, they did a story on that. The Cult of Christian Trumpism was from the Gospel Coalition. All these charges, the evangelical reckoning begins. This was in the Atlantic, and they talked to Andy Stanley, who's got one of the biggest churches in America, and he said a bunch of things that essentially is all you people losing your minds about this election over Donald Trump, God's man, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You're all just a bunch of idolaters. You totally trash the witness of the American church. You've destroyed the use of the word evangelical or evangelicalism, and your guys are all bowing down at the foot of essentially of Baal and government, and you're ready to go to war and shoot and do bloodletting. And so that's no place for the Christian witness. And so that's why they're calling you, that's why they're calling it Christian Trumpism. Okay? So that's what I want to talk to you about today. Are we supposed to be people of fear? We are not. Am I concerned about election integrity in the United States of America? Absolutely. That's nothing new, by the way. You can go to the Heritage website, heritage.org, and you'll have a resource there that's just a sampling. It'll show you some general stats from about the last 40 years. It goes back to 1982. They have records on it. Showing you, I mean, actual convictions, 1,400 plus convictions for election fraud, voter fraud, all that kind of stuff. This is nothing new. It's been going on since we have had elections. Why? Human depravity and power. Okay? That's like, how do you make cookies? Well, how do you make ice cream? Well, you know, sugar, cream, eggs, you know, milk, whatever. It's pretty much the same stuff over and over again. Same thing in this case. But are you trashing your witness? We've been hearing that for 5 years. Any Christian that supports Donald Trump, how can you support such a dirtbag, somebody that's so degrading towards women and talks down to people and insults people and the things on Twitter and blah, 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 and all of that? What does that leave you? As in a conversation with Pastor Greg Laurie several years ago, what does that leave you? So you don't vote for Donald Trump. You vote for somebody that supports, protects, and funds infanticide, baby killing. That's what you do. That, what do you do? So here is Dr. Michael Brown, who's on the radio right before me. Brilliant guy. I have known Michael for years and appreciate him. Local churches as centers of resistance. He just put this out in the stream the other day. It is true that our elected officials help determine the direction of the nation. That's why we emphasize the importance of voting and staying involved in the political process. But it's also true that God's people gathered together in local congregations can have an even greater influence on the direction of the nation, especially when we make up a substantial part of the population. As Jesus puts it, we, his followers, are called to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, Matthew 5. But what exactly does that look like? How do we fulfill these sacred and sobering roles? Some people right now are saying, resist. Biden's not my president. He's not the president-elect. This is a big fraud. The election was stolen from Donald Trump. He had a huge win. And now the whole thing, from the mainstream media to the polling companies to Dominion Software to all of that, and there's interesting bits and pieces of information and allegations and some evidence here and there that I don't think we can trust the election process, but what do you do about it? That's what we're talking about today. We'll be right back. So what are we waiting for? Christian Trumpism. Are you one of those? A Christian Trumpist? Not trumpet, trumpeter. Christian Trumpist. Which I guess you could say is kind of the same thing. As somebody that trumpets for Donald Trump, chirps for Donald Trump, covers for Donald Trump, supports Donald Trump no matter what. You're incensed right now. You're completely ticked off. You're ready to, maybe pull a peaceful protest and start spray painting things. And breaking things, and you fear that we're going to go from a cold civil war to a hot civil war, and quite frankly, you're ready and maybe even calling for it. And you're so bent and upset about this election being stolen from President Donald Trump that you just can't sleep at night, and you're completely obsessed. You're reading everything. You're watching YouTube stuff all the time. You're engaged fully on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and you're just pulling stuff in. And the more you read, the more incensed you get. And this whole thing is so crooked. And I can't believe nobody's doing anything in the mainstream media. And the courts are all crooked. And every judge involved is crooked, Republican and conservative or not. And this whole thing, and you're just pulling your hair out. And you want to go to the march in D.C. And you've got your Trump flag on the back of your car when you pull up to church this Sunday. And you're just incensed. You're out of your mind. You're at the end of your rope. And I get all of that. I get it. I do. But how now shall we live? How do we deal with this? And I'm going to get to a couple of these Trumpism articles, okay, including Beth Moore. Okay, so just hold on. I was reading from this one from Dr. Michael Brown, who's brilliant, great guy on the air. We've been friends for years. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. famously said, "The church must be reminded that it is not the master or the servant of the state, but rather the conscience of the state. It must be the guide and the critic of the state, and never its tool. If the church does not recapture its prophetic zeal, it will become an irrelevant social club without moral or spiritual authority. Pretty good. Again, I ask, Mike Brown writes, what exactly does this look like? How do we make a transformative impact on our society? How do we resist the destructive trends that threaten to destroy our nation? How do we push back against real forces of wickedness? It's certainly not by taking over our neighborhoods through intimidation and fear, forcing non-believers to live by our moral codes. It is even more certainly not a call to take up arms and literally go to war with our ideological opponents, although it's perfectly appropriate for Christians to serve in their military to fight in what theologians have dubbed just wars. It's a good thing, okay? And you got stuff going on. You got spiritual things going on. You got COVID going on. You got what looks to be probably a transfer of power. Will it be peaceful? Mostly probably. Hopefully. I think we should pray for that. And then you have an election process that lacks integrity. And if you can't trust your election process in the United States of America, a so-called representative republic, which was designed to be, it's no longer the United States of America. It's no longer a representative republic. Because then all of a sudden, you don't know if the votes of the people are actually determining who's in office. And if they are not, then you don't live in a representative republic. You live in an oligarchy. That's a government of a small group of very powerful people. That's an oligarchy, okay? So then you get all these kinds of attacks, okay? The dangerous idolatry of Christian Trumpism. Some would say it's an attack. Some would say, no, this is just calling a spade, David French. This is a grievous and dangerous time for American Christianity. The frenzy and the fury of the post-election period has laid bare the sheer idolatry and fanaticism of Christian Trumpism. A significant segment of the Christian public has fallen for conspiracy theories as mixed nationalism with the Christian gospel has substituted a bizarre mysticism for reason and evidence and rages in fear and anger against their political opponents, all in the name of preserving Donald Trump's power. And then David goes off on some things he was watching at the Jericho March. Eric Metaxas was involved with that. And last, he's mentioning this in his article. Last week, Metaxas also interviewed Charlie Kirk, the co-founder of Turning Point USA, who's been on this show before. A frequent featured speaker in American churches, as my friend Rod Dreher reported, Metaxas made a series of stunning statements about the election. Quote, it's like stealing the heart and soul of America. It's like holding a rusty knife to the throat of Lady Liberty. Pretty explicit language, right? You might as well spit on the grave of George Washington. Quote, this is evil. It's like somebody has been raped or murdered. This is like that times a thousand. Really? That's a little over the top. And here's what he says about Americans who disagree, who believe that Trump lost the election. Quote, everybody who is not hopped up about this, you are the Germans that looked the other way when Hitler was preparing to do what he was preparing to do. Unfortunately, I don't see how you can see it any other way. Wow. That's strong. So if you're not all bent out of shape about the potential loss here for President Trump based on an electoral process that has all kinds of holes in it, like a piece of Swiss cheese, then you're like the German who said nothing while Nazi Germany ramped up to kill 6 million Jews, to cook them, torture them. That's what you're like. Now, Is that accurate? I think that's over the top. But now there's going to be some people, some of you, that think I'm wrong. That you do see it that way. We're not there yet. We're not talking about ramping up a Third Reich to go bake Jews. Okay? You need to say, well, not yet. Hold on. Here's another one. So Beth Moore, did you hear about this? She came out the other day, just a few days ago, tweeting, as we do, right? And she's talking about, I've never seen anything in the United States of America I found more astonishingly seductive and dangerous to the saints of God than Trumpism, the founder of Living Proof Ministries said in her tweet, which, of course, moved a lot. The tweet did. Karen Swallow Pryor, an evangelical author who's now, I think, out at Southeastern Baptist, said that she was ashamed to have voted for local and state GOP candidates, many of whom backed lawsuits challenging the election. Quote, what a bunch of money-grubbing, power-hungry, partisan cowards who care nothing about conservatism. Whoa! Then this article mentions David French and then Beth Moore saying that in her more than 63 years, she's never seen anything in these United States of America I found more astonishingly seductive and dangerous than Trumpism. With a warning to her nearly 1 million followers that she would be blunt, the founder of Living Proof Ministries posted a thread in which she called on Christians to move back from Trumpism and insisted Christian nationalism is not of God. Moore had particularly strong words for her fellow Christian leaders, who she said have a responsibility for protecting their congregants. Quote, "We will be held responsible for remaining passive in this day of seduction to save our own skin while the saints we've been entrusted to serve are being seduced, manipulated, used, and stirred up into a lather of zeal devoid of the Holy Spirit for political gain." Moore added to Sunday's Twitter thread by stating that the answer to Trumpism for Christians cannot be Bidenism. "We do not worship flesh and blood. We do not place our faith in mortals. We are the church of the living God. We can't sanctify idolatry by labeling a leader our Cyrus. We need no Cyrus. We have a king. His name is Jesus." Yet, Beth, we do live in a real world where we have real representatives and real leadership and real governments who make real decisions that do things like, I don't know, kill babies. No, Steve, that's all you ever talk about. Imagine saying that to me if I had a radio show in Europe in 1941. Steve, all you do is talk about the Hitler killing Jews. I mean, there's other things going on. Yeah, I know. But do any of them really rise to the moral outrage level of a baby murder? And I'm not saying leave the other stuff off the table. I'm just saying there is a moral pecking order here. Okay. So I'll dig into this when we come back, and some from this Cult of Christian Trumpism article from the Gospel Coalition, and we'll work our way through it. What do you think about all this, by the way? I'm going to open up the phones, too. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, the Cult of Christian Trumpism. Are you a cultist? You MAGA hat wearing, MAGA flag waving Christian trying to save the nation? Are you a cultist? This is from the Gospel Coalition, December 16th. On Saturday, December 12th, a bizarre rally was held on the Washington Mall. Shofars were blown. A flyover from Marine One was cheered by shouts of praise to the Messiah, evidently distinguished from Jesus. See this little snarky there, right? MyPillow founder Mike Lindell shared a prophetic visions of Donald Trump. Beth Moore sounded the alarm. David French offered wise analysis. On and on and on it goes. An American-born Israeli man received permission from his Orthodox rabbi to break Shabbat to blow his shofar. And another red, white, blue decorated Trump shofar. Roman Catholic representatives invoked the Virgin Mary and the saints. Don't evangelicals reject worship of anything other than the triune God and even the intercession of Mary and the saints? Why is it, by the way, when you stand up against something, when you stand up for something governmental, you're concerned that this election is got a lot of holes in it and you can't trust it, and you're convinced that Donald Trump actually won, that there's been enough anecdotal evidence and real evidence and affidavits all over the country and all kinds of things that sound really bad, okay, that haven't really gotten their day in court yet, that sound really bad, and you stand up against that, all of a sudden, you're somehow worshiping something other than the triune God. Maybe you're doing that because you worship the triune God, because he calls us to be people of justice and truth and to look out for our neighbor as ourselves and to fight against oppression. Now you got to define the word fight, because our weapons are not carnal, right? They're spiritual. We fight against the powers of darkness, against principalities, against the spiritual forces in this world, against the prince of the power of the air. Not with a gun, not even with a microphone ultimately, but with the word of God and with the Holy Spirit and with the full armor of God, not the least of which is the belt that's truth. What truth, Steve? Well, now you sound like Pontius Pilate. The truth of God's word. Okay? So all these articles, again, discernment. But maybe common love for Trump overtakes these theological convictions, Dreher wrote. He was referred to in the other article. My response is, what theological convictions? Idolatry has taken precedence over theology. Now, getting involved with politics and being in the public square in order to try to impact the direction of the country made up of 340 million people, many of whom are unborn, and just trying to deal with truth and justice, is that necessarily idolatry? I can't judge. I mean, I can look at it and go, yeah, I got some concerns there. But can I actually judge the human heart? I can't. At the same time, there is a theological heart of Christian Trumpism. Please note that I am not talking about voting for President Trump or one's appraisal of the election outcome. My public calling, this is the writer at the Gospel Coalition, is not to bind Christian consciences to my own political positions. Rather, as a minister of the word, I'm joining others in sounding the alarm that a line has been crossed into rank spiritual adultery. For many of us, he writes, it's easy to recognize the assimilation of Christian faith to cultural and political progressivism, but it's time for all of us finally to take the log out of our own eyes. The Jericho March was a blip in the news cycle, but maybe it can be a wake-up call for Christ's body. What we're witnessing on the national stage right now is disgraceful, he writes. In fact, the only word for it is blasphemy. See, all this just radical terminology, okay? The sacrilege not of secularists marching on Washington to take away religious freedom, but of evangelicals marching on Washington to perpetuate a cult. While worrying about secularists outside, many of us have failed to reckon with the secularization right under our noses as the rich cuisine of biblical faith is traded for a mess of pop culture stew. So it's, you can't get a little bit pregnant. You're either all wrong or all right. And so that's the problem. Okay. And I just visually, the Jericho rally, the Jericho march, whenever I see this conflation of America, Trump, political ideology, the gospel, the Bible, the cross, that makes me nervous. If it doesn't make you nervous, I don't understand that. But it makes me nervous. Why? Because of human depravity and our penchant to get things wrong. And the heart, as I think C.S. Lewis once said, is an idol factory. Not I-D-L-E, I-D-O-L. It's an idol factory. We can get a lot of things wrong, and often we do. So the discernment to deal with truth and justice versus idolatry and acting like the condition of the country and who's in charge is almost supreme to gospel. Now, gospel has implications on how we live. The gospel isn't just you need a savior because of your sin. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, right? No one seeks God, no, not one. And then comes the gospel in terms of salvation. And then when you're saved, when you're born again, then the gospel is now how you live out your life, which would include the public square. So to live a strictly churchy life as a gospel person is insufficient. Because the gospel affects the neighborhood, in, which is made up of neighbors, which we're called to love. So that's why I always say that apathy is simply not an option for a Christian. So yes, I'm going to talk about my concern for some political idolatry going on. Yes, I'm going to talk about where we can be preoccupied with too many earthly things and not enough heavenly things. But some people can be so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good, right? And they just pull in. And we're just going to hang on at the church, and I'm just going to read the scriptures and try to lead my kids to Christ, and that's about it. But like D. James Kennedy used to say, Christians should be like hurricanes, and everywhere we go, nothing should stay the same. We should be people that take a stand for truth and justice because people are affected by lies and injustice, oppression, government overreach, abuse, not the least of which are the unborn, the redefinition of biblical institutions, by the government, this degradation. And like one of my ethics professors used to say, the gospel is a moral solution to a moral problem. This is one of my greatest concerns for our nation as we eliminate any notion of morality. And so Facebook defines that there's 78 different genders and you can change them. And marriage is whatever you want it to be. And we're going to get to the point, not that far off, where you're having a bad month or a bad year and you want to euthanize yourself, you can. And we'll get a doctor to help you or put you in a nice little pod and bring you out dead and bury you because life's just too much to take. All this stuff, shame is dead in America. And so all of a sudden, you lose a moral compass in a nation, and all of a sudden everybody's doing okay. There's really not that much that's immoral, unless you're a Trump fan. That's definitely immoral, but everything else, that's okay. So if nothing's really immoral, there's really no shame in any of it, then why do I need a savior? I need to be saved from what? For what reason? I talked about that yesterday. Okay? So you have to have discernment. Okay? Discernment. Tell the truth from the lie. Pull out the truth. Set aside stuff that's off. That's what I try to do. That's what we're called to do. Okay? So we don't have a lot of time. So maybe I'll do this tomorrow or Friday. We're going to have Mike Johnson. Representative Mike Johnson is probably going to be on the show Friday. He's the foremost expert on religious liberty in the House of Representatives. Great friend, great brother. He'll help us understand what's going on, what could happen on January 6th, which we talked about yesterday with the reading of the electoral votes coming out of the states that then go to the Congress, and then they read those and go through it in the Congress, and you can have challenges. We talked about that yesterday, so if you missed it, go catch the Facebook Live for yesterday, or the and I'll be talking about that a lot more between now and January 6th, or grab the podcast. Tomorrow, and I'm not done talking about all this, by the way, tomorrow looks like we're going to have our good friend Mr. Steve Dace on, and he wrote a book a few years ago that you should read, okay? You should read the book he wrote a couple years ago called A Nefarious Plot. Nefarious. A Nefarious Plot. And the whole point behind A Nefarious Plot was it's very much like the Screwtape Letters. And Nefarious is a senior demon that the devil himself dispatches to destroy America. Okay? Because America's been such a light in the world and has been a source of power and influence in the world and a great gospel sending base and a nation that was brought up out of the soil of religious liberty and religious freedom and largely had a biblical worldview from her earliest days, which I've studied ad nauseum, talked about ad nauseum, and taught ad nauseum. And so you look at that and you go, okay, so this is nefarious a job, of course. I mean, why wouldn't you want to take down America from the devil's perspective? So he wrote this book called The Nefarious Plot. And then what just came out, which is just available now, and because of cuz COVID, hashtag cuz COVID, I actually can't get a hard copy until mid-January, but I got the PDF, and it's called A Nefarious Carol, C-A-R-O-L, like a Christmas carol. And it involves the devil himself engaged in a conversation with a young woman, and it's a proposition of sorts, done kind of like a Christmas carol. So I'm about 65% through reading it. I'm going to finish it later today. We're going to have Steve Dace on tomorrow, which we'll definitely swerve into politics. We'll talk about Christian Trumpism. We'll talk about this election. We'll talk about fraud. We'll talk about illegality as we focus on A Nefarious Carol, which you can look up. I'll put a link up on it on Facebook Live. When we come back, some more about Christian Trumpism. This is Steve Noble. Hang in there. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. This is really, I mean, this stuff is really challenging. I disagree with a lot of these assertions from all this Christian Trumpism stuff. I mean, they're assuming everybody that's supporting Trump and angry about this election right now is just a big idolater. So since when does anybody at the Gospel Coalition qualify as God himself or Beth Moore? Talk about idolatry. Maybe that's idolatry of self. You're correcting everybody else. And as I go, listen, I make the assumption that a lot of these people are trying to answer the question I asked yesterday. I'm going to ask a lot in the near future, which is how now shall we live given the situation, what's going on in America? And by the way, did you expect it to go any differently? I mean, again, I'm going back in time to when I was pretty much an abandonment theology guy. Which sounds a little bit like this. I've read the end of the book. We win. So in the meantime, I'm going to take care of me, myself, and I. I'm going to do good churchy things, but I'm not going to get too wrapped up in the world or what's happening there. I'm going to build my castle. I'm going to dig my moat. I'm going to pull in my gate. And I'll watch it all swirl down the toilet from the sidelines, right? That's who I was prior to about 2002, 2003, 2004. Some foreign mission trips and then ultimately the birth of Call to Action, which was our activism start, and then radio came later. I'm like, oh, yeah, you know what? Sooner or later, we have four kids. They were much smaller then, obviously. Sooner or later, I got to open my gate and send my kids out into the world. And what have I done to affect the world into which I'm sending them? Nothing. And what about my neighbors? Have I done anything to affect the world into which they live? No, not really. I've pretty much taken care of me, myself, and I. I had to go halfway around the world to Kenya to finally have the guts to tell somebody the gospel, to share the gospel and ask people to make a decision. I had to go halfway around the world to do that. That was 2002 when I had the guts. I mean, we were talking a little bit about the gospel with family members and stuff before that. But man, I didn't have that kind of public witness. I didn't have that kind of public boldness. And going to Africa changed that. I came back. I'm like, why am I a different person here than I am over there? Because over there, it doesn't cost me anything. The Mzungu can go out in the bush in Kenya, share the gospel with 35 people in a tea field. 15 of them raise their hands, say they want to pray to receive Christ. You feel great about yourself. And you got nothing to lose. They don't know who I am. I don't go to church with them. I don't see them down the block. Piece of cake. It's like shooting fish in a barrel. And then I come home. I'm like, oh, I don't know if I should share the gospel with my neighbor. They're going to think I'm freaky and they're never going to talk to me again if I go to work and then blah, 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 blah. So then I started to kind of crawl out of all that. And then God opened a door for me and others, and we walked through it and became Christian activists. And then I had to deal with my heart over time, and I think I lost sight of the gospel in many ways, and I was more concerned about saving America than seeing Americans saved. And God dealt with me through the Harvest Crusade process with Greg Laurie, and here I am. That was 2006, 2007, and here I am in 2020 still struggling with this. How now shall I live? How much of myself and my emotion in my thought process and my energy and my joy and my happiness am I going to wrap up in the condition of this country? But the condition of this country has affected millions and millions and millions and millions of people, not the least of which are the unborn, who 61 million of them we've sacrificed on the altar 98% of the time of just, I don't feel like having a baby right now. It's not good timing. I don't want it. Get it out of me. That's 98% of all abortions are purely elective. And then the degradation of a sexual ethic. And then what we've done in our schools and what we've done in our cities and oppression and slavery. And by the way, ladies, did you know slaves were freed and had the right to vote before you did? Listen, we got all kinds of stuff in this country's history, just like I do in my own personal ledger. And so does that stuff matter? Do we engage it? Yes. How do you not? How do you turn a blind eye to the guy on the side of the road that's lying bloody and beaten? You have to be the good Samaritan. You have to be. You engage because our government and our culture affects people, some unborn. And so you must engage. If you love the Lord and love your neighbor as yourself, you have to engage. But how much of your stock do you sink into it? Do we run around and spend 98% of our energy and our gifting and our abilities on political matters and 2%, like the abortion rate, on spiritual things? Like literally, like life and death, gospel things, evangelism, discipleship, that helping them. Listen, I mean, James makes it pretty obvious. If you're not doing something regularly to help the oppressed and the poor and the needy, You can bring your salvation into question. Now that question, I've struggled with that for years. Because you know what? Compassion International, that's great. You got a couple kids on your billboard at home, on your chalkboard, on your refrigerator that you send $80 a month to. That's great, but that you're not getting your hands dirty. You're not really in it. You write a check, and that's important. It matters. But am I actually doing something on a regular basis to help the poor and the needy and the widow? The fatherlessness in this country, 42% of kids in America grown up without a father. I can check off a box because I get on here 5 days a week and pontificate sometimes. And it's important and it matters. And I pray to the Lord that it makes a difference. But I'm really out there getting my hands dirty. I'm not in many ways. I spend a lot of Saturdays in front of an abortion clinic. That matters. And so what do we do? What do we do? How now shall we live? So I think I'm incensed about the possibility that I think is fairly probable. I don't know if enough happened to actually, like when Donald Trump said, I have an overwhelming victory. I'm like, well, that's Donald Trump, okay? He's the king of hyperbole. Do you think we swung 10 million votes, 15 million votes? I don't think that's possible. People go, well, Joe Biden got 10 million more votes than Barack Obama is. Yeah, Barack Obama didn't run against Donald Trump. And Trump derangement syndrome is real. And you want to talk about Christian Trumpism, there's all kinds of non-Christian anti-Trumpism. This is just a crazy season we're in. And I don't know that the season's going to end until Jesus comes back. And it's ramping up now. And things are starting to smell a whole lot more like end times. And I think one of our challenges, one of the things you're hearing in me as I work my way and fumble my way and trip my way through this conversation, is that I guess we just never really saw ourselves having to deal with this. We never thought we'd get to such a crazy, dark, confusing place. And that's where as Christians, like, okay, hold on. Slow down a little bit. Do you pray anywhere near as much as you protest? Do we pray anywhere near as much as we speak out or post or tweet or repost or text each other and just go ballistic about this and that? We spend so much time broadcasting our opinions, but how much time do we spend in prayer? I know I'm weak in that area. I have utmost respect for my wife, who's been praying for our four kids and all kinds of stuff for years. But everyone, yeah, I got to pray about that. And what do you expect to have happen? You take to the streets all you want, but if our prayer life stinks, holy cow, that's a problem, right? And you want to see a nation pursue righteousness? Then let's pursue people coming to know Christ. You think you're going to change the heart? You can't. Only the gospel does that. My wife was pro-choice before she got saved. I didn't give a rip before I got saved. Now look at me. Now look at her. The gospel did that. And so now we've got, you know, like 95% of Christians in America, according to Barna, which I'm always like, I put an asterisk next to that because bad news sells. So 95% don't ever personally share the gospel with people. I hope it's not that bad, but it could be north of 80%. That wouldn't shock me. I mean, let me ask you the question. When's the last time you personally shared the gospel with somebody? I don't do it nearly as often as you would think I do, just because I'm Mr. Christian guy on the radio. I do it on the radio, but to me, that's easy. It's me staring at a camera and talking into a mic. That's an easy way to share the gospel. Go have that awkward conversation with your neighbor or coworker. And so we struggle through it. This is the tension of the Christian life. I don't trust the election results. Do I think if it were cleaned up, Donald Trump would win? Quite honestly, I don't. I think there's enough people in this country that are so wigged out and lack wisdom and discernment and are just crazy enraged about Donald Trump. And in many ways, I think there's spiritual stuff there because of what he defended and what he did over these last 4 years, a lot of which made evangelical Christians happy. And so you got a guy up there championing for life and against the Johnson Amendment and stuff like that. And whether he's a born-again or Christian or not, in this case, is irrelevant. What's relevant is he did these things. And so that represents a standard that I can make a case as a biblical Christian comes from the Bible. Take Donald Trump's words out of it. Just the fact that it happened while he was the president. So he represents something that the forces of darkness hate. And that's the truth. And I'm not saying Donald Trump's wearing a gown draped over him by Jesus Christ, okay? He's God's anointed. That's true, just like Obama was. You think somebody's going to get into this office without God's knowledge and providence overseeing it? If Joe Biden gets inaugurated on January 20th, God knows that. God allows that. And maybe, chew on this one, maybe that's actually God doing something to us. Maybe it's judgment. So, welcome to the confused walk with the Lord of a Christian radio talk show host. Because I am struggling through this stuff. I'm not having a hard time seeing the truth. I doubt the election results are accurate. I don't think there's enough there to overturn the results of the election because I think Trump derangement syndrome is real and widespread. Mostly on the left, but also on the right. Do some people worship Donald Trump? Are they into idolatry? Most likely. Do I know that for sure? I do not. Here's what I know, is that I have a responsibility to speak the truth and try to help my neighbor. And in this country, one of the ways I do that is through politics. And preach the gospel and pray. And trust God with the rest. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.